Would you open God's precious holy word to Lamentations 4? Call it the woe of the daughter of Zion, the oracle of doom of the daughter of Zion. We have one more after tonight, Lamentations 5, and then we'll get into some happy psalms. Jeremiah has made us all cry. He's the weeping prophet. And it's just been one terrible thing after another. But it also makes us realize, since that much of God's word is dedicated, Jeremiah and Lamentations, is dedicated to the graphic description of the judgment of God upon his people. Now, you know, it goes back to when they came out of Egypt and God promised them a land. And so many happy moments in their history. The warnings from God, the blessings from God. God gave them leaders and the hundreds of years of their history in the land. And now out of the land because of disobedience and sin. And it just, I mean, chapter after chapter in Jeremiah and in Lamentations reinforces the grievous results of sin. When the people who had the word of God, they were called as the people of God, and then they turned their backs on God and blatantly disobey God. And this judgment fell, not just after a few years of rebellion. This, you know, I told you Jeremiah's career as a prophet lasted somewhere around 41 years. They were already in trouble and deep in sin when Jeremiah came along. So this is the kind of a thing where the people have been warned and they have been enjoying themselves in their sin, if there's such a thing, for those decades and decades, even though they were warned. And this is the final judgment of the people upon the people while they were in the land and now to be dispersed from the land. And we keep seeing it underscored in the scripture how horrific this was. The promised land, the separation of God's people from the other nations, giving them the law, giving them the prophets, giving them his word, expecting, of course, that they would be priests to the world, so to speak. Disobedience after disobedience, the long-suffering of God, hundreds and hundreds of years, until that's it. There's nothing else. And so they are, at last, finally, the northern kingdom of Israel has long since been dispersed from their land, and now the southern kingdom and the absolute and complete ruin and devastation that happened to the land, to Jerusalem, to Judah, it's something that is so terrible that God uses these many, many chapters, and we've been in it for so long, these many, many chapters to hammer it home in our minds what a terrible thing it is to turn your back on God. So let's look at Lamentations 4 with that in mind. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. So here is how the prophet illustrates the situation. Some of the most well-to-do people in the world hear called fine gold have become dimmed, and they're nothing more now than clay pots. The upper section of society, those people were taken early into captivity. And of course, you could imagine all of their assets would have been taken by Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, just everything taken by him, and their position in the world now gone. Nebuchadnezzar took all that away. At one time, they were among the most shining people in the world, like fine gold, especially regarded that way in Jerusalem. But now in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, they're just clay pots. They're being handled and directed and used in a way seen fit by someone else other than the Lord. Here in this case, of course, speaking of the Babylonians. So they are clay pots in the hands of a potter. They're nothing anymore. The stones of the sanctuary scattered, that once glorious temple, it's nothing. It's ruined. It's gone. So now the societal structure of the people of God is gone. There is no society there anymore. There's no culture there anymore. God has completely judged them and has caused it such that the most intelligent, the best craftsmen, and the highest officials who could have contributed to Babylon were taken into slavery. So they're nothing but clay pots. They're not the fine gold they once were. Not just that, but consider the starvation of the children. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. Society is gone. No more finery. No more, not enough to care for the children. Hopeless. Children are in a hopeless and helpless situation. Those who once were well-to-do are nothing more than people who embrace that which everybody else throws away. This is what's happened to Jerusalem. Jeremiah sees it and he writes about it. Her Nazarites, now don't mistake this word. The Hebrew word, netzeri, the Hebrew word here, netzer is the root word. You have to understand that netzer is used in ways other than to describe people like Samson, for example. You know, Samson took a Nazarite vow. Well, the word means those who are distinguished and distinct and separated by honor. So in this case, the Nazarites are talking about the wealthiest and the best, the most well-known people of Jerusalem. So now speaking of Zion, her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones, become dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. What you see here is an entire community crazed with hunger, in the shock of utter defeat, unable to cope with the destruction that has befallen Jerusalem and Judah. Many of them are the ones who were the well-off, and they always looked so well. But now they're filthy and dirty and blacker than soot. They're unrecognized. They used to be recognized in parades and at festivals, but no longer. Nobody could recognize them. They're skin and bones. They have nothing. They're slowly dying of hunger, these who were once so well off. Women. Now, the word for cook there from the Hebrew really means they've boiled their children. They boiled them. They've boiled their own children, and their children became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The people have utterly lost their minds, unable to cope with the horrific results of the utter defeat that came upon them from Nebuchadnezzar. Now, think back here. Jeremiah told them to surrender, and they wouldn't do it. He said, you're going to be a lot better off if you surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. They wouldn't do it. No, Egypt is going to come just in the nick of time. We're making allies with other nations. We can take care of this ourselves. Jeremiah told them, Nebuchadnezzar is the instrument of God. He's a servant of God. He's coming here to punish us, and you had better surrender to the will of God, because it is the will of God that this man utterly crush us in defeat. Ain't going to do it. And they didn't do it. This is the result of their stubbornness, refusal to listen to the prophet, to the word of God. So they've lost everything. They've even lost their minds, if you look at this. Dying of hunger, skin and bones, once well-to-do, unrecognizable now, haggard and eyes that are sunken back in their head. I mean, you can just, it would be, I suppose, like the Holocaust on steroids. It would just be like that. These people walking around not knowing who they are, where they are, trying to find anything, even in an ash heap, trying to find anything to eat, cooking their own children. So God gave them over in this sense to their reprobate minds. And this is what happens in reprobation. You just lose your mind. You lose all sense of dignity and everything else. And this is what has happened to the people of Jerusalem. Yahweh has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion. It has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth, all the inhabitants of the world, would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. Just before it collapsed, the system had become totally corrupt. We catch perhaps a greater idea. It's a little more descriptive in Ezekiel than it is in Jeremiah. How wicked the priesthood had become. They were hiding in the tunnels under the temple, carving images to Baal and worshiping Baal under the foundation of God's temple. The prophets that they listened to were false prophets. Anyone who disagreed with them was put to death. They killed them. Hosea, to think back to the northern kingdom of Israel before this ever happened. Hosea described the culture of the day. And he said, there is no knowledge of God in the land. They curse, they swear, they steal, they covet, they break out. That's a phrase that means that they cast off all restraints and became utterly violent as a society. And blood touched blood. So there's bloodshed everywhere. That's a judgment of God on an unrepentant society. In the case both of Israel and, as we've just seen in recent weeks and months in Jeremiah's time in Jerusalem, another judgment was corrupt judicial system. Corrupt civic leaders who plotted and conspired against the people of God, namely Jeremiah and his scribe. Tried to kill him, threw him in prison. Didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say with regard to the word of God. Then as Nebuchadnezzar's armies surrounded and built those siege walls and towers, we saw how in Jeremiah the military lost their heart. They didn't have any fight left in them. They didn't want to fight. They became cowards. The leadership of the society became confused. They never made the right decision. All of that was a judgment of God. This is how God judged the unrepentant people back in that day. So I think we need to bear that in mind as we think of these last days in which we live. They even the religious people, so-called, along with civic leaders, became bloodthirsty because they felt themselves empowered in some way. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, "Go away, unclean. Go away, go away. Do not touch us." When they fled and wandered, those among the nations said, "They shall no longer dwell here. The anger of Yahweh scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priests nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes have failed us, watching vainly for our help. In watching, we watched for a nation that could not save us." Now let me go back briefly. The kings of the earth and heaven's world could not have believed that this would have happened to Jerusalem, because so many times God delivered them. You know, they repented and God delivered them. Couldn't believe it. Now they're wandering, blind in the streets, seeking to run away. and they seek to become refugees in surrounding nations. "Nope, we don't want you," the other nations said. "No longer you'll dwell here. The anger of Yahweh scattered them. He no longer regards them." There was no more respect for priests or favor to elders. The structure of their world was gone. And the prophet said, "We've gone blind, looking for some nation to come and help us that could not save us." Already the warning had been given that the only help they would get would come from Yahweh. But they didn't turn to Yahweh. So they practically went blind, looking for help in the wrong place. It never came, obviously. "They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. And the breath of our nostrils, the anointed of Yahweh, was caught in their pits, of whom we said, 'Under his shadow, we shall live among the nations.'" Now, Zedekiah is a case in point. He tried to run away. Others did as well. They thought they had a plan whereby they could escape, but Nebuchadnezzar's troops weren't going to let them escape. They were too smart. They were too fast. They were too powerful. Even the anointed of Yahweh, that would have been the son of David, King Zedekiah, he was caught, put his eyes out. But not until they watched Nebuchadnezzar kill his sons. And they thought that it was under the shadow of the son of David they would live among the nations. But in Ezekiel, God had already said, there will not be another son of David on the throne until the son of David sits on the throne. So God put a pause to it. Until the Lord Christ, of course, rules and reigns on the throne in Jerusalem. So this is how they had false hopes. And all their false hopes were dashed in the complete judgment of God upon them. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. So now when God finishes with Jerusalem and Judah, you see what it says? He will no longer send them into captivity. So what does that mean? Well, that means that Israel today will not suffer captivity like they did. It was over here. This was the complete judgment of God. And then, and we saw this at the ending, in the ending chapters of Jeremiah, God sets his wrath and fury upon the Edomites because they assisted Nebuchadnezzar, and they always rejoiced whenever Judah suffered. So the prophet gives another prophecy with regard to the Edomites. Punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He'll uncover your sins. We're going to stop there, and we'll finish up, God willing, Lamentations next time. And right now, we'll have our deacon prayer time.